Welcome to this podcast, where I will talk briefly about tax relief for business, travel, and subsistence expenses for the self-employed in trades and professions. This is something we include on the CPD course as we go around the country, and where I make the point that for subsistence costs, it is more difficult for a self-employed individual to get tax relief than it is for an employee. To obtain tax relief by deduction for employees for any expenses incurred, the expense must be incurred wholly, exclusively, and necessarily in the performance of the duties of the employment. By contrast, the self-employed individual has a less demanding test in that expenditure must be incurred wholly and exclusively for the purposes of the trade or profession, with no reference to necessity. Section 2, the legislation. Section 34 of ITOA provides the legislative guidance and provides that in calculating the profits of a trade, no deduction is allowed for expenses not incurred wholly and exclusively for the purposes of the trade. Wholly and exclusively can be interpreted to mean that the sole purpose of the expenditure being claimed must be a trade purpose, with no private element involved. HMRC guidance states that a non-trade or private purpose precludes a deduction in full, where there is no objective yardstick by which any trade element can be distinguished from the non-trade element. However, in the Business Income Manual at BIM 37600, it goes on to say that where a definite part or proportion of an expense is wholly and exclusively laid out or expended for the purposes of the trade, profession, or vocation, inspectors should not disallow that part or proportion on the ground that the expense is not as a whole so laid out or expended. And the example of this approach that they give is the running costs of a car, used partly for the purposes of the trade and partly for other purposes. Officers are told to allow the actual costs of any trade journeys, such as the fuel cost, tolls, parking and congestion fees, etc., and then to allow a proportion of the license, insurance, provided the insurance covers business use, the cost of repairs, finance costs, etc. So having offered some words of comfort, it does become more complicated and more difficult to obtain a deduction where there is a dual purpose for the expenditure. The guidance tells HMRC officers to distinguish those cases where a definite part or proportion of an expense has been wholly and exclusively laid out or expended for the purposes of the trade, profession, etc., from those situations where an expense has been incurred for a dual purpose, and where there is a dual purpose, they are not allowable. To help understand this apparent contradiction, I will look at some decisions of the courts on whether or not tax relief is due by deduction. Next section, guidance from the courts. The first case that I want to look at is Horton versus Young, a 1971 case involving a bricklayer who had contracts with a main contractor for bricklaying at various building sites within 55 miles from his home. A situation perhaps very common to many of you AAT members. He worked on each site for 3 weeks or so. Mr. Horton attributed one-third of his travelling expenses to travelling between sites and the balance to travelling to and from his home. The commissioners refused a deduction for home-to-site travel, but the courts upheld the appeal, deciding that travel for a temporary purpose was allowable and finding that the nature of the trade or profession was itinerant. And that was a very key point. Guidance from HMRC about itinerant trade journeys outside the normal pattern is as follows. HMRC will allow extra costs incurred wholly for business purposes where a business is itinerant, for example, commercial travellers, or where occasional business journeys outside the normal pattern are made. HMRC confirms that it will allow a deduction for reasonable expenses incurred in such circumstances, but we must remember that HMRC may want to see receipts. They may want the proof that the expenditure has been incurred. Next, I want to look at home-to-work travel of Mr. Powell. This is the case of Powell versus Jackman. Mr. Powell operated a milk round under a franchise with Unigate, and he travelled daily from home to a Unigate depot to collect his milk float and the milk which he delivered on his round. There were no office facilities for franchisees at the depot. Mr. Powell claimed the travel costs from his home to the depot. HMRC refused the claim, but the special commissioners allowed it. HMRC appealed to the High Court, and the High Court held that the costs were not allowable, distinguishing the case of Horton v. Young, because there was no predictability about Mr. Horton's places of works, hence the treatment of him as an itinerant worker. However, Mr. Powell's round was based around the depot, not his home. Therefore, he wasn't an itinerant worker, and therefore the courts would not allow him a deduction for the travel from his home to the depot. The next case is a 1975 case of Caiabotti versus Quinn, which sets out the strict interpretation of the law where the cost of away meals was held to be not incurred wholly and exclusively for the purposes of the trade, therefore not allowable. A subcontract carpenter worked on sites within 40 miles of his home, and Mr. Quinn bought lunch for 40p compared to the home cost of about 10p, and he claimed the extra cost due to his physical work. The commissioners allowed the cost, but the revenue appealed and the courts refused a deduction on the basis that the purpose was for human need and subsistence. A famous quote from this case is that a Schedule D taxpayer, like every other taxpayer, must eat in order to live. He does not eat in order to work. Hence the disallowance. Looking at HMRC guidance, I want to consider the treatment of lorry drivers and their overnight subsistence, where HMRC says, "We have long accepted reasonable claims for the cost of evening meals and breakfast taken in conjunction with overnight accommodation, if the cost of the accommodation would otherwise be allowable as an expense in carrying on the trade of the profession. Long-distance, self-employed lorry drivers have therefore been able to claim a deduction for the reasonable cost of meals taken in conjunction with overnight accommodation. This treatment is extended to drivers who spend the night in their cabs rather than take external overnight accommodation." HMRC guidance does, however, warn that only reasonable expenses may be allowed, and the expenses claimed must be supported by adequate contemporaneous receipts. On the topic of overnight accommodation and subsistence, further guidance from the revenue tells us, where a business trip necessitates one or more nights away from home, the hotel accommodation and reasonable costs of overnight subsistence are deductible. This does not extend to overnight accommodation and subsistence at the base of business operations, even if there is a contractual requirement for the trader to reside in a particular place. You can find that guidance in BIM 37670. Next section, mileage rates for the self-employed. This is a topic that's often raised with me, and it's of interest to myself because I claim my expenses based on mileage rates as opposed to the laborious treatment of putting all the receipts together and claiming a proportion. So HMRC guidance at BIM 47701 explains when self-employed taxpayers can use mileage rates to compute their vehicle expenses. HMRC will allow the use of this method of calculating tax relief as an alternative to keeping detailed records of actual expenditure. The intention is to make things simpler for small businesses, and there is no compulsion to use it. HMRC says that taxpayers who do not use it should deduct the actual amount they spend, and in either case, the journey must be made wholly and exclusively for business purposes. HMRC allows taxpayers to compute their expenses using a fixed rate per business mile. If the annual turnover of the business is less than the VAT registration threshold when they first use the vehicle. The VAT threshold is a convenient limit, but this practice has no application to VAT accounting and does not affect existing VAT rules and practices. HMRC said that taxpayers can only use the mileage rate basis if they apply it consistently from year to year. So you can't chop and change. They can only change to or from an actual basis when a vehicle is replaced. So perhaps someone using an older vehicle might choose to go down the 40p a mile route, whereas someone buying a new, particularly if it's an expensive vehicle, may want to claim actual costs. If the turnover of the business increases and then exceeds the VAT registration threshold, the taxpayer is allowed to continue to use the mileage rate basis until the vehicle is replaced, which is something of interest to me because I continue to use my old Volvo because the 40p rate is much more convenient and less administratively inconvenient. If there is a change in the VAT threshold, then HMRC tell us that the taxpayer should continue to use the same basis again until the vehicle is actually replaced. Well, what about qualifying journeys? HMRC guidance says that taxpayers can only claim the mileage rate basis for journeys that are wholly and exclusively for business purposes and cannot claim the allowance for private journeys, such as travel from home to work, or for journeys that serve both a business and a private purpose. Some of the tax cases that I've looked at give us an indication of what are allowable business journeys. Let's think about what the mileage rate covers. It's meant to cover the cost of running and maintaining the vehicle, such as fuel, oil, servicing, repairs, insurance, vehicle excise duty, and the MOT. The mileage rate also covers depreciation of the vehicle. So if a taxpayer uses the mileage rate basis, then they cannot claim any additional amount for these expenses. The mileage rate does not cover costs that are specific to a particular journey, such as tolls, congestion charges, and parking fees. These will be allowable as an additional deduction where they are incurred solely for business purposes. The taxpayer can claim the business proportion of the interest on a loan used to purchase the vehicle or the finance element of a hire purchase or finance lease. Just a reminder, if a taxpayer uses the mileage rate basis, they cannot claim capital allowances in addition because the payment of mileage rates already covers an element for depreciation. So finally, in summary, this podcast is a brief one to talk about expenses for the self-employed, covering some issues that have been raised by AAT members attending the CBD courses, where Tim Buss and I look at expenses issues for businesses, with my concentration, of course, being mainly on the employer-employee issues. Thank you for listening. I hope you found it useful, and I hope to meet some of you on the CBD courses. Thanks very much.